Good to see everybody here this evening. Hope everybody's had a good day today. It's I enjoy this pushing the podium back on Sunday evening because it just makes our singing so much better. But good song services both today, Wes. Appreciate the songs you picked out and the way you lead the singing. Appreciate that. Good to see each one of y'all. I hope that I know it's been a productive day for some. I was thinking that I heard that Tim had a cow that was calving, and so must be going well because I wasn't sure if we'd see him here or not this evening. But so far so good for that as well. I want to talk this evening about I don't know the exact way to put it, but regrets that we have. Do you ever kind of look back on something? Maybe you're in an auto accident. And you just thought, if only I had left a little bit earlier, hadn't taken that phone call, hadn't done this, hadn't done that. Maybe something else happened to where I often have regrets of, if only I hadn't had that second piece of pie, not to mention that first piece of pie. There's just things that we do in life that we really kind of regret, and we look back on, and some of the things are things we couldn't have avoided, we couldn't have predicted. At least had we known that it was going to happen, then that would have been fine. But there's no way to predict when you're going to be in an auto accident or something terrible is going to happen, a tornado is going to come through or something like that. But there are a number of if only passages within the Scripture that I believe that we really need to take note of, because God wants us to understand, if only we will act in a certain way, that the blessings are going to flow. And there are other times where the time where Christ was looking out over Jerusalem and he had the comment, if only they knew what would prevent what was going to happen from happening, was the point that he was going to make. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we have the final, speeches by Moses. It is a speech that is inspired by God. As a matter of fact, it's not just inspired, it's inspiring to read it. And so let's look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 6 to begin with. He starts off by saying, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Well, that's a lot of different types of blessings, but they're all contingent upon this. If you obey the Lord your God is how he began this deal of blessing, starting in verse 2. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. In verse 11, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. Let me stop right there and just make an observation. We can get carried away with things today by saying, well, we would be having better weather if we were doing this, or we wouldn't, or whatever the case is. We always joke with people, you know, he must be living better because he's getting more rain. I think it's just because he, whoever he is, exaggerates on what he poured out of his rain gauge. But whatever it is, we look at that. You're not living right. You are living right. And the idea is that certainly, on an overall basis, God's going to bless us. I look at some of the things that are going on right now, and I'm convinced that if we think we can continue to sin against God in such a high-handed way, and then think we can pray to him for things like rain and health and safety, I think we're out of our minds. Now, I think that we have the right to do that if we're not involved with that, if we're actively opposed to it. But I think if we're putting up with things that we have no desire to get involved with, all these things that are on a greater level than us, to the point where we're not even praying to God to intervene, then I don't think we have the right to be thinking that God is going to answer our prayers concerning this abundant prosperity that He promises the faithful. But I also think that if even during times when the society around us seems to be falling apart, if we're trying to take a righteous stand in a kind way, in the right way, according to Scripture, then we not only have the right, but we have the privilege and we have the obligation to be able to pray to God and ask Him for all these blessings. But again, I think sometimes we don't associate bad things when we should, and sometimes we associate them when we shouldn't. I don't exactly know how to remedy that, but I do know the key is to serving God to the best of our ability. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You'll always be at the top, never at the bottom. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And so now He's telling them, this is what you can expect. If you don't serve God in God's way, this is what you can expect. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you're destroyed and come to a sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking Him. This particular passage, I think, is really important to kind of look at and then to be aware of what's going to happen very shortly, because God just tells them, here's the blessings you will have if you'll follow me. Here are the curses you will certainly have if you don't follow me. And I believe there are times in our life where we have things that are controllable. And one of the controllable things is whether or not we have a right to approach God. Because sometimes, because of the state of our life, we don't have the right to approach God. And so it's so important for us to make sure that we're in a proper relationship. I also think this. I think sometimes we pray for the blessings of a land that doesn't need blessings at the time, because they've got something they need to go through. I'm not suggesting that we stop praying for rain in season. I'm not suggesting we stop praying for good health. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is sometimes we go through things, not even necessarily because of what you as an individual are doing, but because what we need as a people, as a whole, whether we're talking about a community or a state or a nation, what we need to help nudge us back to God. I know there have been a number of things throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that they were warned about, that as they went through it, they turned back to God in prayer. And when they did, the blessing started again, once they repented and then turned back to God. But there were also times when they turned to God just asking Him for things and expecting Him to take care of them, and they were rebuked. Remember when Joshua went before God, threw himself on his face for a day, and just essentially whined about the fact that God didn't take care of him when they tried to attack Ai? And God's response was, what are you doing on your face? Get up. Israel has sinned. And the idea was, you got a responsibility to take care of that. Now, Joshua was the leader and had more responsibility perhaps than others. But there are also times, I'm convinced, where we have every right to go to God in prayer, and we don't. This is one of the reasons it's so important for us to be aware of what God says his blessings are contingent upon and what he says the curses are contingent upon. Here's another point that he makes in Deuteronomy 32. Now, Moses is really close to the end of his life, and God is warning the nation of Israel through Moses what's going to happen in the future when they turn away. And so he's speaking of a future tense. They are a nation, Deuteronomy 32:28. They are a nation without sense. There is no discernment in them. If only they were wise and would understand this and discern what their end will be. I believe one of the most important things for us to have in this life is a discerning heart. And the only way we can have a discerning heart is if it is educated by the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us what we need to be doing, what we need to be concerned about, and how we need to act. Discernment is not something that just comes down magically. We are to pray for wisdom. We're commanded to do that. But it's always been contingent, as have all the blessings of God, upon our obedience in the first place. And so he just says this, if only they were wise and would understand. I think one of the hardest things for us as Christians sometimes, especially when we're dealing with people that we really love, that we really are concerned about because they've gone away, and we know they've gone away. We're not judging their eternal place, but we are aware of what God's warnings are concerning certain types of behavior. And I think one of the most difficult things for us is to look at people and understand they've just got it to go through. They've got a hard, what was it somebody said, road to hoe for their life if they don't change. And so it's important for us to be a people with sense and with discernment so that we can look ahead and see what will happen. In Isaiah chapter 48 is written about 10 years, maybe a little less, after the destruction of Israel. If you'll recall, when Solomon was king, his sin was so great that God determined that he was going to divide the nation of Israel. He wasn't going to do it during Solomon's time, but because of Solomon's sin, he was going to divide the nation of Israel. And so now 10 tribes were going to go to the northern region with Samaria as their capital. They became known as Samaritans, and as we go through the New Testament, we will see the Jews treating the Samaritans in a different way. But these 10 tribes, under the leadership first of Jeroboam, went off almost immediately. Two tribes remained. Judah, of course, had the king's tribe, but also Benjamin stayed with them. God gave them one tribe, and they became known as Judah. And so the nation of Israel now became known as Israel and Judah, with Judah in the southern part, with just two tribes, plus a number of the Levites, plus a number of the other 10 tribes who realized that what they were doing up north was wrong, and they came back to the region. But for the most part, it was just two tribes of Judah, and it was 10 tribes of Israel. And so as we get to that point, we see that Israel was carried away by the Assyrians. They were brought into captivity. And one of the things the Assyrian people did was they immediately started dividing the people up of the nations they had conquered, and they would intermingle with everybody else, so they would lose their nationality. So they would lose this desire as whatever they were, in this case, Israelites, to come back as Israelites, because they would be so intermingled, it would be hard to tell. And again, that was why they were looked down upon. They were supposed to keep their line pure. And so the Jews looked down upon the Samaritans, even though they were partly Jewish, and they were certainly descendants of Abraham. Isaiah 48, verse 17, about 10 years after the destruction of Samaria, the northern tribes. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I'm the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. Have you ever gotten to the point where you think, nobody has the right to tell me what to do? I'm a free individual. When we get that way, we're in this type of danger, because Israel had thrown the yoke, they thought, of God off their necks, and they took the yoke of sin and paid the consequences of sin. And so God said, I'm the Lord who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Now the nation of Judah, they've got maybe, 130 years before they're going to be completely wiped out. The warnings start coming towards them, and God is looking forward, I believe, to them, and he may also be talking to the nation of Israel, those 10 tribes, but this idea of if only you'd paid attention. I want to say again, there are some things in life that we look back on, if only, that we had no control over. It's just the happenstance of life. But we have many things in life that the if onlys we should have known, shouldn't have got drunk, shouldn't have been immoral, shouldn't have been in this place at this time. We pay a penalty for those if onlys. And God is telling his people through the prophet Isaiah, if only you'd paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And then in verse 22, he says this, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. I've thought about that a lot through the years because there have been people who I really love and have been really concerned for. And as they go off, I'll be praying sometimes, I think, for inappropriate things, like it'll go well with them. We don't want life to go well for people in their sin. We want people to repent so that life can go well for them. But the penalties that God builds in for sinful behavior are there to get the sinful to repent. And one of the things we have to understand, especially during our era, but it was true for theirs as well, but in the Christian dispensation, those who are Christians and who are living as Christians have the fruits of the Spirit, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. It's a spiritual peace, but it also carries over to our physical lives. There cannot be a spiritual peace for those who are not in Christ. And for us to be praying for somebody for it to go well for them when they are intentionally going away from Christ is a mistake. Because God wants that penalty to help them to repent. Now, of course, we don't want our loved ones to suffer. But we don't want them to suffer eternally either. And when God says there is no peace for the wicked, that's exactly what he means. There can be not this spiritual type of a blessing, peace, for the wicked. It's just because it's not a fruit of wickedness. In Luke chapter 13, well, let's go to Luke chapter 19 because I think that's a better passage. Starting in verse 41 is Jesus, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. And then he goes on to describe what's going to happen in the coming days. I believe he's talking about the physical destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70, which is going to be about 40 years from the time he's talking right here. But this warning or this comment, if you'd only known. I just think about that so much. I look back, you ever look back on your life and wish that the older you could have given the younger you some advice? This is what's going to happen if you keep on doing this. God does that for us. Only it's not the older us that's giving the advice. It is the holy God who knows exactly what is right for us. And he's telling us, this is going to be what's going to bring you peace, and this is what's going to bring you the exact opposite of peace, a curse. And sometimes we just ignore that. But again, Christ looks out over Jerusalem, and he says, if you'd only known. In Proverbs 13:18, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. I always tried to with our kids, and our kids I think knew that both about Carolyn and I, to not go in and talk to the teachers about their being mistreated in any way. You know, too much homework or too much this or too much that, because discipline's an important part of life. It's the same thing in athletics. You need discipline. Now, there are times when things are not appropriate that sometimes you have to go and talk about, but this idea in Proverbs, if we ignore discipline, we're going to come to poverty and shame. That's a given, and it's especially a given when it comes to the Lord's discipline. And again, I think sometimes when we talk about if we only knew, I think if we only knew the times that we were moaning and complaining and griping about the terrible lot that we had in life or that other people were going through, if we could associate that with the Lord's discipline, as it is at times. Sometimes the bad things are just happenstance. Sometimes the bad things are a result of other people's sin. But sometimes they're a result of our sin, and we need discipline. And again, he who ignores discipline, talking about proper, comes to poverty and shame. But whoever heeds correction is honored. In Psalms chapter 39, in verse 4, David says this, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days." I can tell you that as I get older, there are certain things that happen on an occasional basis. I started getting chest pains when I was in my mid to late 20s, and apparently turned out to be stress. I say apparently because I just kind of self-diagnosed on that. But there are times like that. You have something that happens, and you start wondering, ooh, is this it? and you start thinking, I wished I was better prepared here. I wished I was better prepared there. When it comes to the spiritual things in life, we need to be prepared right now. And one of the ways we can do that is to realize we have no guarantee over the next 5 minutes, much less a long physical life. We have guarantees for spiritual blessing and spiritual reward. But from a physical point of view, we don't have that guarantee. We also need to understand that our life does have an end. And so David says, show me my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man's a phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about. Does that sound familiar? But only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. This is the key. I think when our hope is in God and when our perspective is right, I don't have any guarantee for my physical life, but I'm a servant. And if we can have this absolute determination, I'm going to serve God for the rest of my days to the best of my ability, then I don't think you worry about so much anyway, about when the end of your physical days are going to be. Of course, we're concerned about what our children will do, what our grandchildren will do, what our spouses will do. But from this perspective, this eternal perspective, you are created to be a servant forever. Not just for this physical life, but for the next life that you are created for. This is almost the practice life, but it's not practice from this point of view. This life is going to determine whether or not we're saved or whether we're not saved. If we can have the mindset of I'm a servant of God's right now, no matter how many more years I have or how many more minutes I have, I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability, and I want to serve Him for all eternity, then I think we're going to be able to really enjoy the life that God has given to us. But we do need to have the proper perspective, and I think that's what David is saying. And it all goes back to this. If we only knew. If we don't know that there's going to be an eternal judgment someday, whose fault is that? If we don't know what position we stand before God right now, whose fault is that? If we don't realize sometimes when we're suffering that we're suffering because of our own sin that we need to repent of, whose fault is that? But on the other hand, if we realize that God is in charge, that God has the right to discipline us and to command us as to what to do, and if we're serving Him to the best of our abilities in obedience to His commands, life is really good. And then we go on to eternity. But the choice is ours, if we only would think about it, and if we would only know. Invitation's open. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian tonight. We would love to help you with that. It may be you need the prayers of the congregation or have some other need that the church needs to be aware of. But if that's the case, just come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.